I was sitting there thinking how long it's been that I've been preaching. I'm going to be 69 this summer, and I began when I was in high school. I have done this a lot of Mother's Days, either as an evangelist, as a guest in the pulpit, or as a pastor. And I confess to you that this thought is, or this whole Mother's Day thing has been going through my mind maybe more this week than my sermon has. I pulled off to the side of the road this morning on the way down. By the way, if you're going to use your cell phone, it's a $159 fine if you don't stop your car. Just a little bit of help there. I pulled into a McDonald's parking lot in Brentwood, and I dialed a number. And my father answered. I was hoping maybe to catch him. I figured maybe it was a special. It is today at Sharon's building, assisted living and independent living. My mom's in a nursing home. My mom's 90. My dad's will be 93 in June. My mom's in a nursing home. My dad lives independently, still drives. They both live in Lakeland, Florida. My mom is in the early stages of Alzheimer's. She recognizes me when I call, or most of the time my dad calls me, hands the phone to her, because it's a hard connection to make for her to try and answer there in a nursing home. On the way, or when I get home this afternoon, my mom will most likely call me again. I can almost guarantee you that from the time I called this morning to about an hour later, my mom probably said to my dad, "Has Jim called? Is Jim going to call?" She will have four questions for me. Did you preach today? Did Sharon go with you? Where was it? And the fourth one you won't understand at all. But she'll say, "Did you sing?" I knew you wouldn't understand that one. When I was a little kid, you know, we sang solos and all that kind of thing. Tomorrow, about 3 o'clock, the phone will ring and I'll answer. My dad will hand the phone to my mom. She'll say, "Did you preach yesterday? Where did you preach yesterday? Did Sharon go with you? Did you sing?" That will happen every day, almost like clockwork. Now, I'm not telling you that story to make you feel bad. But I'm telling you that story. I can't get this thing on my ear right this morning. I'm going to have to grow bigger ears. I don't know why it's not staying in like it did last week. I'm not telling you that to make you feel bad. I'm telling you that because in this congregation, there are people that it's no longer just Mother's Day and a nice gift and such. Maybe your mom, like mine, is her memory starting to fade. Or maybe this is the first Mother's Day that you have, that your mom isn't with you. Let me tell you one other story. Is there some really intelligent, you're smart. Why is this not staying in my ear here? I really thought you were. My oldest daughter is Dia. Dia came to us when she was 11 years old. A family of six children that parents just walked away from. We ended up adopting Dia. She was 11 years old when we did that. I was trying to put together in my mind, probably 20 years later, one of the birth children tried to put together some kind of a reunion or all of the kids. And at the time, Dia was married to a young man named Dan, and Dan said to my Sharon, "Mom, you can go, Dia can go, if you go with her." They flew back to Ohio, where this meeting was to take place. It actually did take place on a Friday night, partially. And then Dia's birth mother said to her, "Let's have breakfast together." And so Sharon stayed at the hotel, and Dia went to have breakfast with her birth mother. She never showed. It's one thing to never show the first time. It's something else when you don't show up the second time. Dia came back to the hotel, and Sharon was in tears. And Dia looked at her, and she said, "Mom, I know who my real mom is." And so this morning, the first call we got, 6:45, she said, "I want to be the first to say Happy Mom's Day." The reality is, that's represented across this congregation today, isn't it? Maybe the mom you're going to call and say Happy Mother's Day isn't the one that birthed you. I told you about my mom. That's on her good days. On her bad days, she'll say to me, "I never should have married that man. He stuck me here in this nursing home. There's no choice. It's a medical situation. There's absolutely no choice." And on those days, it's harder. We preach from pulpits that Christians die well. Not always. Sometimes they change personality. Sometimes medications affect them. Sometimes things happen that just, it isn't like you remember. And I, somehow, if I could, I would take every thought that has gone through my mind about every kind of situation that's represented even in this group this morning. I'd put my arms around you and I would hold you and ask you to simply celebrate the good things, the tough things, the fact that you have life. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask us to figure out a way. You just have to move around. I'd like us to just hold hands. So stand together with me, and if you have to move across the aisle, if you have to reach behind you, you don't have to form a circle. Just somehow let's connect everybody. And I'm getting a real, real ring, Ken. That's good. I appreciate everybody who's willing to do anything to make this come together. Now I'm probably really going to drive them nuts standing over here. Let's pray together. This is a holiday. This is a day when we say thank you for our moms. For some, it is a day that just simply, I couldn't have a better mom. It could not have worked out better. For others, it hurts. But there's one thing we do celebrate together, and that's life. The fact that we have life. Somebody birthed us. In some cases, they did a terrific job raising us, and in some cases, they didn't know how to do it very well. In some cases, they're still here today that we can put our arms around them and hug them and tell you thank you. In some cases, they're not here. And I don't know how to do it, or how, after all these years of doing this year after year, I just wanted that we take a few moments, feel close to each other and grateful for those who have helped us make this journey. In some cases, maybe it was a mom at church. Maybe our mom didn't come to church, but there was somebody that just kind of let us snuggle up next to them. We thank you. And I pray that the celebration for the rest of the day will make us conscious, not only of our own mothers, but conscious of a world in which we live where people need love, people need care, people need guidance. And yes, people need mothering. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Last week I preached a sermon, and by the way, thanks for having me back. It's nice to get invited someplace once. It's even nice when you get to come back a second or third time. I had to tell you a story about a preacher was preaching one place, and he said, I'm kind of filling in. Said, I'm like that piece of cardboard or that piece of board that you put when the window is broken out and you substitute a piece of cardboard or board for it. After the service, a lady met him and she said, you're not a piece of cardboard or a piece of board. You're a real pain. Thanks for letting me be with you. I spoke about the fact that if you're a Christian, there's two people living in you, God living in you. And I gave you an assignment. I asked you to take just a few moments, some time, and during the week, and just simply kind of write down, just sit there and write down some names or situations or whatever God brought to your mind. And we thought about how could we do it so people could share those or such. I think the way we'll try to do that, if it was a significant experience for you, many of you are in small groups, I think. And if you're a small group leader in your small group's meeting this week or such, would you just take a moment and ask that question and give people a chance to respond if they did that assignment? If you didn't do the assignment, you just flunked worship. It's probably not so earth-shaking whether you did it or didn't do it. But it is important that you do learn to listen to what God's saying to you. And that you learn to talk to God about the things that are upon your heart and upon your mind. I was thinking of some of the voices from the past. And because I like teenagers, I'll give... If you're a teen and you get one of these correct, you get 5 points. If you're an adult, you get 1 point. We're going to rig this. But do you remember some of these voices? One of these days, Alice. One of these days, Alice. Pow! You're going to the moon. Who was it? Ralph Cramden, Jackie Gleason. What about this one? Mr. Banny? Who'd I hear? Rochester, exactly right. Any teenagers got any yet? I was going to call and ask you to, have a couple teens do this. I wouldn't know who they were. So, how about this one? This one maybe teens could get. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Who? John F. Kennedy. Terrific. You're in the lead, 5-2. And that's the way it was. Walter Cronkite. I don't know if you'll get this one. Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are. Jimmy Durante. I have come to the conclusion that Ken watched way too much TV as a kid. That explains a lot. Okay, here's one more the teen maybe could get. The devil made me do it. I don't think you're a teen, but that you did get it right, and you called it right out there. Now, a lot of voices in our ears, aren't there? The story I told you about the young man who went back to pick up the piece of trash and put it in the trash can. He said it's possible there's three voices that you can listen to. God's voice, the devil's voice, or our own voice. In all these voices that have an impact upon us and that we're sensitive in hearing during our journey through life, how can you tell the difference? How do you know that what you just felt maybe was not God's voice, it was the devil's voice? Or maybe you just thought it up yourself. Let me suggest to you, and I want you to listen this morning rather than... Matt, help me with this. You're not as good looking as she is, but you're... What? Yeah, but I think it's the back needs tucked in.
Hold on one second.
That's why I asked her first. I knew he could do it, but it would take a long, long time.
There you go. Okay.
Thank you. See, you shouldn't have hit it in the first place. Where was I? How do you tell the difference? How do you know whether it's God's voice you're hearing? Or it's the devil's voice, or just my own voice. I want to read you some scriptures, and I want you to listen to them. I purposely am not putting them up on the screen. It's going to come as a surprise to some of you. Do you know they didn't have overhead projectors in the Bible times? I one time told a little kid that I didn't have a television until I was about 6. I mean, you could not describe the look on his face. You didn't have a television? I want you to listen to some. The way to tell between God, the devil, and yourself is, at least in the first two, discern. What are they like? So I want you to listen for key words that are descriptive. We're talking about God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pretend that I'm in an African-American church preaching this morning. it's fun to preach there because they preach to you as much as you preach to them. What words jumped out at you?
Gave.
Gave or giving? Somebody else. Love, obviously, in that great verse. Now that you got the idea, listen as I read you. This is the Old Testament, Exodus. Be thinking, be watching for, be listening for words that are descriptive of what God is like. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stones of tablet like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may gaze in front of the mountain. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Did you catch some words? Gracious, merciful, what was it? Compassionate, forgiving. And you know one of the parts of that verse that I like? Do you remember the story? Moses came down from the mountain. He saw the calf and he broke the tablets. Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. Anybody here today who needs a second chance? Anybody here that sometimes has not understood it was God's voice when he said, I still love you. Let's try it again. We could do other verses, names for God, his character. What about healer, provider, redeemer, savior, father, fortress, shield? And I'm going to sing this one to you because I want to tell my mom, yeah, they let me sing. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your strength from day to day. Now let me ask you something. Did the voices you heard last week sound like any of these things we've just talked about? Did God speak words of forgiveness and comfort and assurance and let's try that again? The devil is described in the Bible. Satan, an adversary, slander, accuser. John 8:44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. If you hear a voice this next week that says, God doesn't love you anymore, where do you think it came from? It didn't come from the Father. Ephesians warns us about the devil's schemes, and Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now let me quickly hurry on. There's one other factor that comes into play here. God's voice, the devil trying to plant thoughts in your mind, but our own personalities and our own backgrounds can play a big part in how clear we hear, or even if we listen at all. Put everything to the test. Accept what is good, and don't have anything to do with evil. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. For those of us who are built with the kind of personality, and Sharon's even worse at this than I am, don't just stand there, do something. One of the challenges we face is slow down. Wait a minute. I bought a book. Now, I bought lots and lots of books, but the title of this one was Bullies, Tyrants, and Impossible People. I probably bought it before a board meeting. Just teasing. The reason I bought the book was it promised it had a chapter on teaching me how to listen. To show you how effective it was in my life, I just downloaded a book yesterday on listening. I'm still working on it. I have a tendency sometimes to answer people before they've asked the question. This won't be any different than most of the days I live. After I have been with somebody, I have talked with somebody, I have visited, I have gone out to eat with somebody. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind when I get in the car, why didn't you listen and talk less? You know that's true, don't you? I just spent, 30 minutes taking her ear off and with some ideas. I hope they at least were good, but do you know what I mean? Isn't it amazing how little we learn when we're the ones doing all the talking? And that comes to some of us as a personality disorder that sometimes we have to work on. Because the Bible probably really is correct when it says patience is a virtue. Sometimes Sharon will say, let's go to sleep and we can talk about it tomorrow. No, God made today for us to talk about it. And if we don't, today's going to be tomorrow. I've learned a long time ago in my speaking that when people chuckle and laugh, it's not so much at you as identifying with you. Is that right? A second area that can cause us to listen more to ourselves than God is when we've been hurt. I can usually detect it when a person says to me, I know, but you don't know how badly I've been hurt. And there's a danger, a real danger, that even magnifies when, in fact, the person who got hurt is not ourselves, but it's somebody that we love. Sharon has been in the kind of business she's in now for quite some time, and then she worked university before that and a major corporation before that. And I must confess to you that some of the times that I've been willing to listen to my own voice instead of God's voice, the most often are when, in fact, somebody did something to her. I remember telling a congregation, maybe it was you one time, about her coming home and telling me what her boss had said, and my prayer was, God, help him to run into a tree on the way home. And if he makes it home, let his wife shoot him. Now, that's a little extreme, but do you understand what I mean? There's not a mother here that couldn't take a whole bunch being said about her, but don't say it about my child. And so what I'm saying to you is, be careful what you hear when you're defending somebody else. And that's so practical in a church situation. We jump to the defense of somebody else before we've even heard what the whole story was about or what the situation was. Also, know your passions. Know what drives you. I like this quote. Give a man a hammer, and the whole world looks like a nail. You say, Jim, how do I know? Sometimes we think the answer to everything is simply what we prefer personally. If you have a passion, and here's a part, I'm 2 weeks away from your new pastor coming. Listen carefully. If you have a passion for preaching, then you think a strong preacher is the answer to all of your church's problems. If you love music, then you think a great music program is the answer to all your church's problems. If you are young, you think doing something new will cause the church to grow. And if you're old, if we just do it like we used to, is the answer. What I'm really saying to you is, take a look in the mirror. Recognize the preferences that you may have that could influence you and keep you from listening both to God's voice and somebody else's. Be careful that God's voice doesn't always sound like your voice. May I suggest that as you read, listen as you read. It's amazing how many times we can read in the Bible, be content with what you have, on our way to buy a new car. It never dawned on us that it might be us. It never dawns that God may be talking to us about how much we do or don't need in this commercial-filled age in which we live. Listen as you pray. You might find you are more of the answer to what you're praying about than you realize. I think I said this last week, but just perchance that somebody might have forgotten one of the things I said. If God's laying a program upon your heart, it may not be that that's what your pastor should do. It may be it's what you should be involved in, the ministry God's given you. Listen as you talk. It's easy to forget that when two of us are talking, there are three in the room. Slow down and see if God has anything to add to the conversation. Listen, because he does love you. And he wants to help you. And he wants to instruct you. And he wants to assure you of how much he loves you. Let's have the worship team come back, and then after you do, I'll close in prayer.